It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferrant.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're celebrating a birthday here. Today marks the one-year anniversary of launching this new show, focused on the people and the culture that make Wisconsin a special place to live.
Over the past year, we've featured local stories from communities around the state.
Right now, we're looking back at some of the places around the state that Wisconsin Today took us over the last year, starting with a place that was once forgotten.
Producer Colleen Leahy drove to Winneconne to learn about how residents put their city on the map, literally.
I had no trouble at all finding Winneconne.
In a quarter mile, turn right onto US 151 North, East Washington Avenue.
I didn't get lost once on the nearly two-hour drive from my house in Madison to the small town on the shores of Lake Winneconne and the Wolf River.
Your destination is on the left.
But I probably shouldn't brag about how easy it was for me to find it. Winneconneans are a bit sensitive about the subject.
Because we were left off the map.
That's Jordan Dunham, president of Winneconne Sovereign State Board. You heard that right. Sovereign State Board. We'll get there.
It all started back in 1967 when a salesman from Milwaukee came to town. And he was complaining that he couldn't find Winneconne on the map.
It turned out this traveling salesman wasn't just bad at directions. Winneconne was actually not on the map. This was in 1967, before GPS. People had to use actual physical maps. And a lot of people, especially people who liked to fish, wanted to get to Winneconne.
Because, you know, we are a fishing village, Andy. People couldn't see us on the map. They didn't know where to go.
So Vera Kitchen, who was president of the Winneconne Chamber of Commerce, wrote a letter to the governor of Wisconsin, Warren P. Knowles, where she requested that Winneconne be put back on the map. But his response was less than satisfactory. Governor Knowles wrote that during the printing process, the name of Winneconne was, quote,
obliterated.
And the mistake just wasn't caught during proofreading. Quote,
the safeguards have been established to prevent such occurrences in the future. It will definitely appear on the 1968 map.
That was not good enough for Winneconne. So?
We seceded from the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Seceded from the state of Wisconsin.
The town's secession didn't last, but its tenacity did. Residents still celebrate at the annual Sovereign State Days Festival. They'll never forget that one time they were forgotten, or the woman who made sure they got back on the map, Vera Kitchen.
We also heard about the wheelchair basketball powerhouse that is UW-Whitewater from gold medal Olympian and coach Jake Williams, who uses a little tough love to produce national champions and Olympic athletes.
I mean, the first thing that I do when freshmen come in is throw them on the ground and make them get up on their own. If they can't do that, then they can't play. The game doesn't stop just because you fall down. So if you can't get up, we're playing 4-on-5, and, you know, I like 5-on-5 basketball.
In December, we traveled to Western Wisconsin, or rather, we traveled under Western Wisconsin. Producer Trevor Hook got lost in the dark maze of sandstone tunnels that make up Sandland. That's the decades-long passion project of engineer and amateur excavator Eric Sutterlin.
The sandstone is hard, even with knee pads and gloves. I'm carrying my microphone and audio recorder while we crawl, so I'm a bit slower than I'd like to be. After a few minutes, we're at another fork. I choose left, unsure if I'm about to enter one of the many loops Eric has made in this maze.
Pretty much every maze loop, I think there's three of them total, you go underneath yourself to be able to do a figure eight. Because three-dimensional tunnels are far more confusing than two-dimensional tunnels.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have all the ups and downs, just to make it confusing.
Right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, left. I'm crawling through section after section, and I'm getting hot. The temperature in the tunnel system is in the upper 40s, much warmer than above ground. I'm starting to sweat. The tunnel I'm in now is starting to look a little bit familiar. Or is it?
In February, producer Beatrice Lawrence took to the ice for the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championships in Madison, where she got an unexpected crash course in how to race on a wind-powered sled from Finnish competitor Fyodor Gervits.
It's incredible. I want to give it a try.
You want?
I'm hoping I'm going to be able to later.
No, why not now? We're hanging out now, so like, do you want to do it now?
I mean,
Let's go.
Okay, sure.
Yep, keep turning. Toes down. Toes down, not heels, toes. Yes.
I lost it. That's pretty good.
And somewhere between Wisconsin and Middle Earth, we explored the work of Karen Wynn Fonstadt, a fantasy cartographer from Oshkosh who created the definitive atlas of the worlds of The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. We joined her son at UW-Madison's map library to take a look at her original drafts.
People spend a lot of time looking at my mother's work as a kind of benchmark. Like, this is how fantasy maps ought to look in some respect. And so if you go ask people who do as a hobby fantasy cartography, my mother's work is often the very first thing that comes up, which is kind of, I think she would be very happy about that.
When we were just over at the map library, a young cartographer stumbled into our conversation and realized that this was Karen Wynn Fonstadt's work strewn all over about the library on tables, and I think he just about passed out. He was very excited.
So are you a fan?
I'm literally trying to make a 21st century follow-up on her map on Numenor from Lord of the Rings.
You want to take a look?
Is this happening right now?
On the one-year anniversary of Wisconsin Today, we're revisiting some of the memorable places this show has taken us to and the people we've met along the way.
Sometimes the show takes us to different eras. Before Veterans Day, a Wisconsin-based band called The Kissers put out a new album inspired by the stories of Wisconsinites who served in World War I. Ken Fitzsimmons is one of the founders of the band. He walked us through his song called Dear Mother.
The first thing I did is I read a bunch of letters home from soldiers overseas. And the soldiers, they call them the boys, you know, letters from the boys. And, you know, it's not too far off. They're very young, 18, 19. And the letters are usually addressed, Dear Mother.
Dear Mother, hello from somewhere in France. Thanks for the mail you sent. And don't worry, though I might not make it home. That's sometimes how it goes. I'm sure that I'll be all right.
And then the next line is something like, hello from somewhere in France. Thanks for the mail or the chocolate you sent. And then there's this kind of awkward exchange where they try to console their mother, saying, like, he should be proud, but I might not make it, but that'll be okay. And so I was intrigued by that. And then through the Veterans Museum, and through some of our own research, I found three particular stories of Wisconsinites from different areas, Milwaukee, Shawano, and Stevens Point.
On the Tuscania, we sailed to the North Sea with great might. A torpedo struck our starboard side. In the dark, we found our way above deck only to find our lifeboat destroyed and men jumping overboard. But I kept my cool. I waited for the rescue boat. Now I feel able to hold my own at any time.
And they each have kind of their own tale that was, I thought, compelling enough for a song.
And don't worry, though I might not make it home. Oh, that's sometimes how it goes. I'm sure that I'll be all right.
In October, producer Joe Tarr took a trip to a Columbia County shooting range to meet a gun club that aims to provide inclusive training to people of color, women, and the LGBTQ+ community, and especially people who prefer to stay away from guns.
John is an immigrant from an East European country near Ukraine, where he has many friends. He's thinking about volunteering, not as a soldier, but to provide humanitarian aid.
Okay.
I asked John why he wants to learn how to fire a gun.
Want is an interesting word because I'm not quite so sure if I want to. I think in a lot of ways I really don't. It's more so that I feel like it is kind of like not packing a first aid kit when you are going for a hike, right? It's just a precaution. I don't hope to use it. I don't plan on using it. But it's important for me to simply take the appropriate level of precaution. And that has to do with my intent, which is to volunteer in Ukraine, to which I have many personal ties and connections.
Last summer, we got to introduce you to Eugene "Mean Gene" Greening, who passed away in March. He was a lifelong Green Bay Packers super fan and had been following the green and gold since the legendary days of champion quarterback Bart Starr and head coach Vince Lombardi. Last year, the National Bobblehead Hall of Fame immortalized Mean Gene, who was actually super nice, with his own bobblehead.
It's unbelievable how much they, I've seen other bobbleheads of players there, how they made it look so much like me. Incredible. It truly does. And then to have people buy the bobblehead. I have two of my doctors that had me sign the bobblehead. Yes, my regular primary doctor and my dermatologist both bought bobbleheads. Who has doctors like that?
Over in the southeastern part of the state, producer Avery Lee Rogers visited a Janesville basement that doubles as a microphone lab. And if you're a Packers fan, you've probably heard these mics in action.
Clover Products, owned by Paul and Diane Terpstra, makes parabolic microphones that are used all over the world, especially in sports settings. The mics can often be found at Lambeau Field, but are also often used in the Olympics, even the World Cup.
What does a parabolic microphone look like?
A big Tupperware bowl. If you want to think about a parabolic microphone and how it works, if you think of when you're outside and you cup your hand around your ear, you are in essence creating a sort of quasi-parabolic microphone because you're capturing the sound energy from a larger area and forcing it into your ear.
Terpstra lugged the two giant parabolic microphone setups from his living room out into the front yard. I use them to record birds way up in the trees.
I would say that's about 150 feet. I can see him now. He's in the top of that evergreen. I'm about 75 feet. I'm assuming you can hear me pretty well. And I'm about halfway to the... looks like a house finch.
There's a strong sense of place in the music of Bijiki, a Wisconsin band that pairs traditional Ojibwe powwow music with a modern musical sound. I asked singer Dylan Jennings about the meaning behind one of the songs from their latest album. It's called She's All We Have.
I think it's multifold. I mean, it's like love for your children and love for the generations that aren't here yet, you know, and love for these places. And so, you know, at an early age, recognizing how important these places are to us as Indigenous people and how we only get one chance with, you know, maintaining our water quality, our air quality, all these things. That song itself, you know, the vocables were part of a song that I used to kind of hum to my children, to my babies when they were really little, when maybe they're fussy or needed to help calm them down. And, you know, as singers, it's something we always do. We sing to our children and our babies. And so that the vocables in that song were pulled from that. That's where that came from, you know, singing to my babies. And then the words came later as we were working on this.
She's all we have. Just give us back our land. Hey-oh, howie-oh, hey.
To us, obviously, our lands, our waters, the beings that have sustained us are all invaluable. You can't put a price on that. And so, you know, I think when you think about that and put it in the context, you know, like it's literally our lifeline that we're talking about, you know, our way of life.
This is our land. And she's all we have.
Special thanks to our technical directors, Sarah Hopeful and Tyler Ditter, who use sound to take you to places across Wisconsin.
And thanks for spending this last year with us and more to come.
We leave you here at a Baptist church in Milwaukee with a soul gospel performance from the OW's Exalters, who recently celebrated 35 years ministering together.
Jesus. Jesus. How I wake up in the morning
with my mind.
With my mind.